Welcome to Praat Nederlands met me, the podcast by Dutch for Children about raising multilingual kids and helping expat children stay connected to the Dutch language and culture. I'm your host Wendy van Dalen, and today I'm switching seats because I'm also the guest. I'll share my personal journey from living abroad with my own family to founding Dutch for Children, an online language school that supports both Dutch expat kids worldwide and international children living in the Netherlands.
Well, hello. I'll be the person asking the questions today. So without further ado, let's just dive right into it. I wanted to start with touching on some of the countries you've been, because you've lived in places like Spain, Curacao, and Aruba with your family. And I just wanted to know what the experience was like as a Dutch mom abroad.
Okay, yeah. Oh, wow. that differs from country, but and also age of the children. When we moved to Spain, our first child was almost 6 months. And it was a crazy time. I love Spain. And I was really looking forward to living there. But it was a little bit strange to go with a young child without your family, without friends. But the good thing was that we were really investing in making contacts from the start. And I never forget that we were invited a gathering of Dutch people from the Dutch embassy. And we didn't have a babysitter yet, so we took our daughter Elisa on the arm, and we went to this gathering, and it was great. And we met people, and from that point on, we start networking and making friends. I really liked the way Spanish people go about with their children. They're always involved. If you go out, you go out with your children. It doesn't matter if it's in the summer, the children stay out late as well. I really liked that part. And the other part I liked was that Elisa, as young as she was, started learning Spanish and speaking Spanish as fast as Dutch. Right. So that was Spain. Curacao. Yeah, then we had two children, or we have two children, and we went there when the oldest, our daughter Elisa, was in secondary school, and our youngest was almost finishing primary school. And that was different. Curacao is a Dutch-speaking island, so language-wise, it was pretty easy for the children. But it was a big switch for them. And we faced some tough challenges over there, certainly as a mom, how to go about living on an island. That was Curacao. Aruba. Yeah, there Aruba, that was without children. So we got married on Aruba, and it was a great time. We were young, just starting right. Working, having fun, diving, enjoying the island. So, and through all the countries, what I really liked, I always invested in the language, and that made it a lot easier to make local friends as well. And I think that this has given all the countries an extra experience. Yeah, it deepens the right. The experience living abroad.
Right. So I can hear, luckily, a lot of positive things from being abroad. But I also heard you talk about a few challenges you've encountered living abroad. And I was thinking that one of those is most likely something to do with trying to keep up the Dutch of your children while staying abroad. And I was wondering how you handled that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, from the start on, we talked Dutch at home. We never switched languages in front of, first our first child and secondly with our second child. In social settings, we used, in the case of Spain, Spanish. And in Curaçao and Aruba, it depends on the people you work with. I have always read to my children every day. So not only before sleep time, but also during the day. In Spain, I was a stay at home mom. So I was really invested in keeping the Dutch alive with my first one. And when she was just before we left, she wasn't got the age to go to school. She went to a Dutch preschool, and after that, a first group in a Dutch school. So Spain wasn't a problem in that way, because our daughter was still young, and then we moved back to the Netherlands, and she smoothly transferred to the first group here in primary school. Curaçao was I'm laughing because it was funny. Very, very fast, the children took up a little bit of slang, because the Dutch children who are living there already picked up a mix of Dutch, some words of Papiamento, that's the local language, and transferring that in a Dutch that's not, in my opinion, really Dutch, but it was fun. And I always try to correct them from the beginning on. But that's not easy, as many of you know, as mother. So I try to keep them by the less. I don't know how do you say the on point. Sometimes it was difficult. They went to a Dutch school, so that was good. So they didn't lose the languages. What's more, that I had to get used to the slang they used. And I can tell you now afterwards that it all disappeared. So I was afraid of nothing. But there was a period that I thought, oh my gosh, will they keep up with proper Dutch, you know?
Following that train of thought, I can imagine that when living abroad and, you know, your children being around adolescence, and they have a different language they speak in that country than their mother tongue, it might be hard trying to navigate how to keep the mother tongue alive for those people when your children might not use that language in a day-to-day basis. And I was just wondering how you navigated that, either emotionally or just practically.
Okay, so you mean, for example, in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, so say you lived in the Dominican Republic. Yeah. The main language that was being spoken was English.
Yes.
Both for friends and school.
Yes.
So how did you, say, keep up the motivation for your children to keep learning Dutch?
Yeah. Well, as I'm, of course, a Dutch teacher, they were used that I was trying to keep them motivated in one way or another, through reading and through sometimes watching Dutch television together, especially on special dates like King's Day or King's Day now, and sports events like soccer and racing. I also try to organize things at home with Dutch people,
right,
not only to keep the Dutch language, but also keep a little bit of culture alive, that kind of stuff. And it was kind of hard because we had also the Corona period. In that period, we talked, of course, a lot of Dutch, so there was no problem. But around it was, the youngest was a teenager, not a big fan of reading, and then he had to read, of course, in English for school. So yeah, there was a struggle sometimes. I tried it with YouTube videos. I recommended YouTube videos in Dutch because he liked to watch that. I bought books for him, which he read or didn't read, I don't know. And yeah, that's about it. And in the end, he switched in secondary from Curaçao to the Dominican Republic to international system. And that's when I also hired a tutor for him to keep up, especially writing and grammar at a level, because I didn't know what we were going to do. And I wanted to keep open the opportunity for him to study in the Netherlands. And then you need your grammar and your spelling up. This was not a problem with my eldest, because she almost finished secondary totally in Dutch. So she was up speed.
Now I want to make a shift over to the foundation or the funding of Dutch for Children. So exciting stuff. I wanted to ask kind of to get a better grasp on how Dutch for Children was funded and kind of what personal experience led to the idea of starting an online school.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's quite amazing how it all developed, because where we're living now in Rijswijk, it all started with me switching career from psychologist to teacher.
Big step.
Yeah, it was a big step, and after graduation, I worked for a couple of years at schools, and the school that motivated me the most system-wise was a natural learning school. I don't know if that's in English the same word, but it's like not like a vrije school, free school or Montessori, but it's all close. And it really looks at the child and looks at the goals that are set out for the child, or that the child is motivated to aim for. And also at the interest of the children, and then teach from that point on. That's like a very short explanation. There's more to it, but anyway, I teach at that school, and it was great. And on the same level, I was in a very full group of more than 30 children. Different levels because of the system, of course. And at that time, it still is a little bit like that in the Dutch education. The schools were also open to children with extra needs. So you had a full class, different levels, and special needs children in one class. And it was stressful, and I missed giving the quality I really wanted to give to the children. Which is kind of impossible with so many children. Along that way, expats around our neighborhood asked me to help them to help their children with Dutch, because they were from Russia or from Germany, and the Dutch was not already there where it should be for education. So I started doing that on the side in agreement with the school, and then I felt, okay, this is it. This is what I'm looking for. So, long story short, I stopped at the school and I started Dutch for Children. And in a very short period of time, I was fully booked. I did it by myself. I did it at home, after school, of course. And people started asking around the country for me to teach their children as well. And that was the moment that I said, okay, I cannot travel to Amsterdam every week for 1 hour, but I can do it online.
Right.
And it was before all the online stuff, but I thought, why not? I tried it and it worked. And that's the start.
It's a great story. So with the creation of Dutch for Children, obviously something unique came with it, as so many people were attracted to this way of having their children being taught. So I was wondering, what makes Dutch for Children so unique compared to, you know, say other online schools?
Yeah, that's a good question. It lies in the development of how it started. We exactly look at a child and we talk to the parents and we say, okay, what is the goal? What's the aim? What are the child's interests? What is his overall education level? So not his Dutch language level, but where is he at in his education at the moment? And then going from that, we start teaching, and we have a lot of sources, of course, and a lot of methods, but we start teaching, and then in 2-3 lessons, we make a plan together with the teacher, together with the child, and then go on from that. We evaluate often to see if, okay, is this working for him or is it not working? Okay, now, or for example, the aim was speaking more. Now he's speaking more. Okay, now we want him to write better as well. And then we start more with the grammar. That's just an example.
Okay. Speaking about, you know, what makes Dutch for Children unique, I also wanted to kind of touch on the audience you cater to, which are both Dutch expat children that are abroad, but also international expat children that are coming into the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I was kind of, what do they have in common and what's different in the approach when teaching these
children? I understand the question. There is a difference because the Dutch expat children who are abroad often have at least one parent who's Dutch.
Right.
So there is Dutch in the family. The Dutch language is there. And of course, you also have the expats who are on contract for 4 or 5 years. So they leave the Netherlands with the children with the Dutch education at a certain level.
Right.
And then they continue in abroad with us, or they have a pause between and then start with us. So the difference is that there is already Dutch available in the family. And with the Dutch and with the international expats, there's no Dutch at all. So the parent is not equipped to help his child with the language, with the homework, etc. So the approach is the same on the level of tailor-made to the child. But we know when we start with international children that they start from zero. And we have a broad scala of the modern methods for children to teach them Dutch as a second or third or sometimes even fourth language. Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, so, you know, with all these children and all these families coming to you, what would you say are the most common challenges that you come across or that you hear?
The common challenges for the parents, for the students, or for Dutch children?
Well, I'd say both for the parents that are struggling with and coming to you for, and maybe one or two challenges that you might face.
Yeah. Okay. The most common for international families is that their children are assessed language-wise. So if they want to enter the Dutch education, the most important thing they want to assess is their Dutch level. Not their overall education level, but the Dutch level. And that's kind of a problem, because it can easily be that a child is on HAVO niveau, and that a language test says it's a VMBO. So you get a difference between overall level of the child and language-wise. And this is a problem, not only practical, because the parents cannot help their child with that. It is also emotional, because in many cultures, and really many cultures, it's so important to score high, to be able to go to university. It's a big thing. So I think that's the most common problem, I don't know, for parents. And for us as Dutch for Children is that expert parents, it's not a problem, but it's something we encounter a lot. They want to go fast. They say, okay, when is she at the right level? And I always try to answer it as honestly as I can, but it's difficult. It depends on the child. It depends on the input. It depends on the time the child can spend on Dutch. And it also depends a lot on the immersion of Dutch. If you're surrounded with international children, your child will speak English with friends. It's normal. It's common. But that means that the immersion is less. That's a thing that we encounter and try to, the thing to answer to that is try to explain as much as it works, how many hours the child needs for every part, so immersion, homework, etc., etc. And the other part is to keep them on track and evaluate often, so the parents know, okay, now we're here, now we're here.
So, building on that, I wanted to see, because that is, as I'm hearing, something you encounter quite a lot. So I was just wondering if you had, say, I don't know, 3 tips you can give parents who want to help their child grow with Dutch as fast as possible, but also in a safe and regulated manner, so that they'll learn, but also in a decent amount of time.
What you can do as an international parent is let them, if they are allowed, for example, to watch TV or watch videos, try to arrange that in Dutch through or for example, you can movies, you can subtitle, or YouTube videos as well. Or there are many channels that are very suitable for children in Dutch. We can put that in the show notes. Another tip is to go to the library. The library access is free for children until 12. And they also organize reading sessions and little shows with puppets, etc. Depends on the age of your child, of course. So check that out in your city or town. And the other tip, which I think is it's really the best, let them join a sports club or a hobby club with other Dutch children. That's the best, I think.
Yeah. And that is applicable for both international and Dutch expats, or is there a slight difference?
Yes, there's a slight difference. Of course, you in abroad you cannot join. That's not really true. There are some groups and schools in the abroad where you can go to for the Dutch immersion. Mm-hmm. So, but most of the time there's not a lot, so that would be not the best tip. The library, yes, because if you have an subscription, you can also go online and borrow ebooks. If it's not possible anymore because you're not registered in the Netherlands, you can ask family to do that for you, and then you have access to the Dutch library. So that's still a great tip. And of course, YouTube and television. Mm-hmm. Thanks to internet, we can do that. Everybody can do that.
Yeah. No, I wanted to add on to the YouTube thing. There's been a new feature added, which automatically dubs a video to different languages. So it's kind of like subtitles, but it's translation in the language. So the video will play, but the audio is actually in a specific language, even though the video might be taken in one specific language. So
amazing. I didn't know that. Great tip. Great feature.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. I was wondering kind of what your hopes are for Dutch for Children and its future, basically.
Yeah. First, my hope is that that we can continue as we do at the moment, because it's amazing families we have as the students, the team. So I'm very happy with that. My hopes are that we just started with little groups. My hope is that this will grow, and because we had a trial and it worked so amazingly well, and it was beautiful to see the connection between the children, even if they lived in Spain, Africa, and the Netherlands. I loved it. So this is my hope on the group part. And yeah, of course, that we can do this a long time and help as many expat families as possible.
Right. Very nice. Okay, and then to wrap up this episode, I wanted to ask you why you believe that keeping a language or learning a new one matters so much for children growing up internationally.
Yeah. Because language is not only words and grammar. Language is connection. Language is culture. Language is, yeah, your belonging.
Yeah.
I can make a very big story of it, but I think that's the core.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. This was quite a special personal episode. If my story resonates with you, or if you're looking for support in helping your child maintain or learn Dutch, visit our website or find me on LinkedIn. I will put everything in the show notes. And please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review in your favorite podcast app. It helps other parents find us too. Until next time, and as always, praat Nederlands met me.